The gospel reading today is from Luke chapter 14. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word is proclaimed, we may hear what you say to us today. Amen. I know this hasn't happened to you before. I'm sure I'm the only one, but have you ever said yes to something and then only realized later, once you had gotten way too far into it before you could get out, that you had not signed up for this at all? And if you had been asked beforehand, if you knew what you were getting into beforehand, you would have certainly, had a different answer. Don't you want to be a youth leader?
Oh yes.
Don't you want to teach Sunday school?
Don't you want to spend all of your time volunteering in the nursery?
How hard can it be?
I think Matt kind of gets some of this. This happens to Matt frequently, probably two or three times a month, and I need help showing you what I mean. So I'm wondering, Anna, you asked if you could do something for me today. Can you be Matt, my husband, for me today? You can come up.
So you don't have to, you don't really have a deep voice, but we just need to, for them, we need to act like he's a little,
yeah,
so you can like walk around like this.
And, anytime
I ask you something, you just need to say yes, honey. Okay, then you want to try it first? You can say baby if you want, whichever one you want. Yes, honey.
Yes, honey.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So usually, little context for you. Where we used to live in Philadelphia was less than a mile away from the Home Depot, the TJ Maxx, the Home Goods, the Target, Bath & Body Works, Old Navy, the pet store, and the grocery store, and they were all right there together. Okay, you got me? So 9 a.m. on a Saturday morning, Matt, of course, thinks he's going to have a relaxing day. We're going to get a few errands run. He's going to work out, maybe do a project in the house, maybe write, maybe read. He likes to look at maps. He's probably going to spend a few hours on Google Maps looking at maps. Got his whole day set out. So while he's eating his Greek yogurt with some pineapple in it, this is all he would eat if we weren't married, I say to him, "Hey, baby, I've just got a small errand to run at Home Depot. Do you want to come with me to Home Depot?"
"Yes, honey."
You got to make it a little louder.
"Yes, honey."
Yeah, exuberant.
"Yes, honey. Yes, honey.
Yes." Okay, so he uses that. And then I say, "Great." And he's thinking in his mind, we live less than a mile away from the Home Depot. It's 9 a.m. I'll be back by 9:45 and get the rest of my day. So he adjusts his schedule a little bit, right? So we go to Home Depot, we get our things, we get our one thing, and of course he carries it for me.
"Yes,
honey." We're walking out to the car, and I see Target, and I'm like, "Babe, I just remembered that I have some stuff. Do you remember those pants that I got? They were a little too tight. They were pink, and I really loved them, and they were like shiny and glowy, but they were too tight. I really need to take them back to Target. You know I'm never around here, so I'm like, do you mind if we like stop by Target?
Yes, honey.
So we go to Target, we return the stuff, and then we're walking out of Target, and I say, honey, you know, Joanna Gaines just came out with her fall line, and I really just want to walk through that little area and see if there's anything I need. Do you mind if we just, like, walk through? I just want to pass through that area. We're already in Target.
Yes, honey.
So we, you know, pass through the area. We look at it, like, babe, I really don't like anything. I was really looking for some coasters for my office, and I was just wondering, you know, we're right beside TJ Maxx, and since Joanna Gaines doesn't have anything, do you mind if we go to TJ Maxx?
Yes, honey.
Bags, we're in Home Goods, and then, you know, I also really need these. I think these coasters are gonna be great, right?
Yes, honey.
I also need some like workout pants, and you know, though, I have to try on. Like TJ Maxx has good workout pants, but like I need to try them on. And can you like stand in front of the little changing room so that I can show you the different ones?
Yes, honey.
And so I'm trying them on, right? And then we're walking out with the workout pants, with the coasters, and saying, oh, I always forget the Bath and Beyond is right. What's it called? No, the other one. Bath and Body Works. Yes. The Bath and Body Works is right here. And you know Mom gave me that coupon, and I think it runs out next week. Let me check. Yeah, it runs out next week. And it's why I only give it free. And you need some of that like body wash that you like to use. What is it like?
Yes.
So we stop by there.
Yes, honey.
And then so we stop by there and we're like, oh, look at this body wash. Look, we can buy one, get one free. Come on, body washes. And so then we're about to go home, but you know Pepper needs to knit more greens, right? And we're right by the pet store. Can we stop by there?
Yes, honey.
Come on, body washes. Come with us. And then we finally get in the car and Dalton sit down. Alright, you can go wherever you want.
Okay.
And by the time we get home, you know what's like 3:34. And even though Anna was a very good mat, what she failed to do was that as the day goes on, there's a lot less of the yes, honey, and it gets a lot quieter. And then the whole ride home, which is only like 5 minutes, completely silent. Then we get home to our house. It's also still completely silent. And for the next 2 hours, it's silent. I said, are you mad at me? Did I do anything wrong?
Yes, sonny.
More honest than he is. She's like, well, I'm not mad, but that's all to say that he has ended up saying yes to something that he thought was going to be a 45-minute trip at most, and now his entire day has been wrecked. And I think that what Jesus was trying to do in this story is to really avoid this crowd becoming mats. He didn't want them to have a mat experience, a yes, honey experience. And so in our scripture reading today, we hear that there is a huge crowd of folks. And so this is these are not just like the apostles. These are not his 12 boys. This is not the women that were bankrolling his ministry. You know about that, right?
Yeah.
Luke 8, you know, there are these three women that are mentioned. And so there's Mary Magdalene, there's Susanna, and this is totally a side note. And there is Susanna, and then there's Joanna, and she is the wife of Cusa, which is the like chief of staff for Herod. So it's very interesting that this woman, that Herod is inadvertently funding the resistance that he is trying to stamp out. Total side note. But anyway, it's not just those folks, not the disciples and these three women. It is this huge crowd. You know, so it's not like the session and the Ibas of the church. Because we all know Iba actually lives here. It is everybody that is here today, everybody that's on the rolls, and everyone who comes only on Easter Day because they want to show off their cute dress. Everybody. And Jesus thinks, you know what? There is a big crowd here. We've had to put out 3 extra rows, and people are having to move seats. I need to make sure that they know what they're getting themselves into. And I just want to be straight with them.
So he comes out with something, you know, really interesting and inspiring, like, in order to be my disciple, you've got to hate your mama, your daddy, your siblings, and your spouse. And you can almost hear the crowd. They're not as quiet as y'all. They probably have, I assume, this huge crowd is a bit rowdy, because you know the kind of folks he hung out with. Is this okay, y'all? And you know, they're probably like, lots of noise, and then what is going on? And you know that somebody is going to speak up, like the Pams of the church. And she's going to, her hand's going to go up in the air, Jesus! And it's like the person who knows raising their hand, always raising their hand, but you don't want to call on them. And he's like, yes, yes, Pam. Well, Thomas and Peter told me that you were telling everybody like last week that they needed to love their neighbor and themselves. And I don't know about everybody else here, but I know a lot of us live on the same block with our brothers and sisters, so they're definitely our neighbors. So what are we supposed to do with this? And then someone else raises their hand and they say, yeah, and you know what? Somebody else, one of Pam's friends, was telling me that you said we even are supposed to love our enemies, and now today you're telling us to hate people. So Jesus thinks, okay, I'm obviously not clear enough. I need to clarify. So he thinks if he says this, this will make it clear for them. Anyone who doesn't take up their cross and follow me can't be my disciple. Pam again. Wait, now I don't know if we signed up for this. You're talking about, you want us to care. Why are we talking about the death penalty right now? We need to talk about that. That's a different issue, but I'm sure not going to go to an executioner's chair just because I'm supposed to be following you. What is going on? More and more noise. People are getting angrier and angrier. You can hear people grumbling. People are starting to walk out, which you'll probably do because the sermon is going to go too long. People are starting to walk out. And all of a sudden he says, you know what? I know what they want. They love my stories. They want a parable. And so he says, okay, calm down. I'll give you what you want. Pam, back to you. Didn't you tell me your dream was to build like your mansion, this dream home? You wanted to build it. You don't want to buy it. You want to build it yourself. Yes, Pam says, in this imaginary world. And if you were going to build, wouldn't you put a budget together and get a few quotes and see how much it's going to cost? And if it costs too much, you might go with a smaller home, not your dream mansion. Because you don't want everybody driving by your half-done house talking about you for years, like, look at Pam. You know, like Joe down the street. We all know Joe. I know we at least had one where I was from. We would go by and see how far they had gotten on building the mansion, but they never ended up actually finishing it and ended up having to sell it because they ran out of money. So he tells that, and everybody says, yep, that makes sense. Very reasonable, logical, rational thing to do. Second story that Jesus gives them. It's about these two kings, warring kings. One only has 10,000 men. The other one has 20,000 men. And, you know, the one with 10,000 men says he knows that he's probably not going to win, so he goes out and tries to figure out how he can work this thing out. Now, we don't really have kings in the South, but we do have college football coaches. And there's not another thing that's too much like war other than football. By the way, soak this in if you like football or any type of sports, because this is the only time I'm ever going to try to talk about sports. There's this thing in football, it's in college football, it's called a mercy play. You all know about this? Okay, two people know about this. So let me know if I'm explaining it wrong. So it's a mercy play. So if by halftime, the coach for one of the teams realizes that they're losing really bad, like it's 50-0, they can go over to the other coach and have the referee come over, and they can shorten the time of each of the quarters. And in some instances, they've even had players from the other side take a knee so that they don't rack up any more points. They're trying to figure out a way to figure this out without losing too much face, without being too embarrassed, without so much ridicule, right? That makes sense? So I wanted to give you a stat, because I even wrote this down, that in 2016, Clemson was playing South Carolina State. And at halftime, it was 47 or something like that to 0. And Clemson was winning. And so South Carolina State, their coach comes over and talks to the Clemson coach. And they decide to shorten the quarters from 15 minutes to 12 minutes. Who knew that that's how long the quarters were? And they ended up losing 59-0. So it wasn't nearly as bad as it could have been. These are rational things. So
Jesus has the people back. Y'all be the people and not.
Yes, yes, this makes sense. Yes, we want to follow Jesus. And so Jesus says, you know, this is rational. You kind of think about the problem. Think about what you're getting yourself into. You measure it all out. You measure the cost. And then once you have a handle on it and you know if you can do it or not, you either go for it if you can do it. But if you can't, if you don't have what it takes, if you don't have the money, then you bow out. And you find a way to deal with it gracefully. Totally rational, logical, right? He said that to them. It's just not in the gospel. And then he says, so in the same way, give away all your possessions or you can't be my disciple. And y'all are a lot quieter than they were because they started screaming again. Because that makes absolutely no sense. That is not logical in any way. Pam raises her hand again, and she said, but I thought you said it was like somebody building a house and making sure they had enough money to get it done so they wouldn't get made fun of. Sounds like what you're asking us to do will surely make us the talk of the town. And then Mike, he's thinking about football. And so he says, I thought that you talked about if a coach knows he ain't going to win, just finding a way to bow out of this in a way that's most respectful. But it sounds like you're asking us to stay in the game and get beat to death. You see, all the examples that Jesus were giving were rational and logical, and it was what the people wanted to hear. But the only thing is that letting go of your home, of all respect, of your wife and your husband, of your mama and your daddy and your brother and your sister and even your life, that doesn't make any sense. And maybe that's a point. That to most people, this would not even be a rational choice. No one who is sane would choose to do this. And for those of us that choose the illogical way to follow Jesus, most of us are going to fail over and over again. And maybe the truth is, if we really look at the odds, that there's no way that we can truly be his disciples. Because you know what being a disciple is, right? It's not just being a student. It's not just, I follow Jesus. It's not just like a cool thing to put on a bracelet or a shirt. But it is actually imitating the life of a homeless, poor, Middle Eastern heretic who spent nearly all of his time hanging out with folks who work for the IRS. And with drug addicts and with gang members and with prostitutes at parties and at clubs till all hours of the night, who all the preachers were concerned about, who broke church rules, who ended up getting arrested and indicted and sentenced to the death penalty. Are we really going to follow someone like that? Are we going to tell our kids to follow someone like that? Here's what I think. On our best days, we try to imitate him. On our worst days, we are along with the rest of the crowd, cheering them on, asking for the death penalty for folks who look just like him. And on most days, we're somewhere in between. I don't know. I think that Jesus knew that most of us couldn't truly be his disciples. But he still asks us to follow him anyway. And get this, Whether we're on our best day or our worst day, he still loves us, gave his life for us, and encourages us to keep on following him. And at least for me, that's the best news I've heard in a long time.